Welcome back to the 12 Saturdays podcast. I'm James Blado.
Tori Brecht here. Hey, you everybody.
Know, it was funny. I said I was coming over here, and all my wife said, "Oh, you're doing that again."
Well, you know, we do have tens of fans that have probably been waiting with bated breath for us to make our triumphant return.
I think both of them tweeted us. So, yes, we don't want to disappoint the literally dozen of followers that we have on
I think it's a growing media empire, though.
Well, the price is right, too.
It's free.
You get what you pay for.
Absolutely.
All right, well, welcome back, everybody. We're sitting here enjoying some very nice beers. I asked Tori for a beer, and he spoiled me with something from Three Floyd, so thank you for that.
You're welcome.
And we're getting ready with an abbreviated podcast because we kind of ran out of time getting ready for the season opener, which kind of really sums up our feelings going into this year, doesn't it?
I wrote down a list of all the awesome things I'm looking forward to this season, and then when I got to like three or four, I had to stop, and especially when the fourth one was basketball season.
I'm looking forward to seeing the new scoreboard. Yeah, I think that's number one on my list.
You know, actually, I am excited for the standpoint that I literally have no idea what to expect at all. I mean, we've got a quarterback that hasn't started. We've got some more new coaches again. We've got the offensive coordinator that's in his second year. You know, they could be anywhere from god-awful to pretty darn good, I think. I don't know. I am not even wanting to make predictions.
But would you admit that anyone saying that holding out for pretty darn good, it's just hope? They have nothing to base that on, right?
Well, you know, I think that the actual evidence is lacking, yes. Yeah. The only thing that you can base it on is things that have happened in the past that you've seen or other things you've seen with other programs. And I guess, again, like we talked about so many times last year, there were only two games that they were blown out in, yep. But there were also a couple games they won by the skin of their teeth. So even last year's team really could have been anywhere from like 2-10 up to probably 6-6, 7-5, maybe with a few breaks. So I feel like this looks to be the same type of year where everything is going to be on the margin except for maybe a game or two here or there where they're just outmatched.
And that would be Ohio State and what else? Wisconsin?
Michigan, probably. Wisconsin doesn't really scare me that
really?
Much. We match up with them well, and they've got a new coach.
Maybe this first game.
Perhaps. We'll see.
I mean, this is a BCS team. I think they lost their Orange Bowl fairly handily, but
sure. I put Wisconsin kind of in that same category as a Michigan State. For whatever reason, we just seem to play well with them. I mean, there's rare that it's a big blowout in any of those games. When we're bad, when they're bad, when we're good, when they're good.
Yeah, I just I felt like we were waning and Wisconsin was waxing. You know, right at the did I have those backwards?
I don't know.
Right at the wrong time when all this alignment and conference expansion was going on. You know, that's when you wanted to be, you know, having your 10-win seasons.
Sure.
You know, it just felt like the timing was wrong. So,
well, everything about the timing last year was wrong. I mean, on everything, pretty much, right?
Well, we could start with the offense, but. Now, I feel similarly to you. I mean, I've had years when I'm really excited for football to start, and I've had years when I'm a little, you know, curious, apprehensive. This year has been just, it's not even been on the radar emotionally. I haven't even made an investment in this. I haven't even been having my Hawkeye nightmares.
Right. The emotional investment I have in this one, though, is that I do think that this could be sort of a legacy-defining season for Kirk Ferentz and his tenure as Iowa coach. Not that you're going to discount all the good that he's done in the past and things like that, but this is, you know, rebuild 3.0. Can he do it? You know, yeah. Well, I guess it technically rebuild 2.0 was sort of, well,
build and rebuild,
I guess. But, you know, I am a big believer in the fact that, you know, people that are successful don't forget what they did to become successful. I also understand, though, that you can get complacent and you can let things get out of your spiral out of control.
Yeah.
I think this year's going to go a long way to telling us which of those things is going on here.
See, that's a good outlook. I was thinking the other day that you can be unconventional or contrarian as long as you have the results. If you're doing things different than anybody else and losing, that starts to smell like incompetence.
That is true. And I, you know, what was interesting, though, is I think in his kind of extended interview thing, Ferentz said the exact same thing, just paraphrased a little differently from you. You know, he pointed out that, you know, the last two Big Ten championship teams were not doing some of the, I mean, they were kind of running that kind of pro style offense and this and that. And he said, you know, whatever you're doing, as long as you're winning, you're a genius. But whatever you're doing and you're losing, then you're an idiot. He goes, and your results are your results. Yeah. You get what you deserve. And, you know, let's talk a little bit about outsider expectations on this team. I mean, when's the last time you can remember Iowa getting so little respect? Not that it's undeserved.
Well, they've earned it.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen them picked as low as, you know, 10th, 11th in the Big Ten.
Yeah, you know, maybe coming ahead of Illinois and maybe Minnesota, depending on who you're reading. And that's it.
Yeah. How does that make you
Purdue,
feel?
Well, you know, I guess that's what they bought with their season last year.
That is true.
They paid the admission to that level of expectation. I think that they'll do better than that. I think that, you know, I think as hard as it is to believe, I think Illinois and Purdue might be a little worse than last year.
Yeah, and I don't know how much I'm buying this whole the Big Ten's tough. I don't think the Big Ten looks particularly that great to me. I think Michigan and Ohio State, unfortunately, have sort of separated themselves again, which is disappointing. That's kind of how I feel about college football as a whole right now. It's kind of like and I know a lot of our fans won't like this, but it's kind of like the Premier League in world soccer, where you have like the top six teams that have more money and resources than everybody else, and everybody else is just fighting for the table scraps. And, you know, I think, unfortunately, that's kind of what the college football landscape is looking like these days, which, in a way, I'm trying to turn it into a positive from the standpoint that what I'm going to concentrate on is regional rivalries. You know, how do we do against Iowa State? How do we do against Wisconsin? How do we do against Minnesota? Because I don't see Iowa being a national team.
No, for some time. Maybe not even a league contender.
Right. Yeah. And not anytime soon.
No. Well, next year maybe. The schedule looks really soft next year. We were sharing the schedule next year.
Right.
And that's when that whole division realignment kicks in, and suddenly you lose Michigan, you pick up Maryland,
right?
Like that. So, I'm looking forward to just seeing what happens here. I mean, it's one game at a time. I think we're in a weird spot. I think someone on the Hawkeye Report pointed out that we're in a weird spot where Ferentz is more optimistic than the fan base.
Well, he has to be, right?
he has to be the cheerleader, right? I don't know if the new coaches are going to, because they're not new coordinators.
Right.
I think that was a big part of the problem.
I hope so.
Last year, someone said it was like the players and the coordinators, the play calling and the talent were just speaking different languages. They were just not on the same page, not in sync. And that seems to have been cleared
up. Well, it sounded like maybe some of the coaches weren't even in the same sync with each other too, which, you know, you never want to see your organization have fissures in that. You know, and leadership.
But I agree with you. This is going to be a watershed season one way or the other. I mean, if they come out of it, you know, 7-5 and go to a bowl game, everybody's going to start crowning Kirk Ferentz again as the next, you know, savior of the NFL and all that stuff. And if they come out, you know, probably anything less than 6-6, then I don't know if there is there such a thing as a $15 million hot seat.
I don't know. I guess I think if they go 4-8 or worse, we will certainly find that out.
We will find out how expensive that chair can be. So what about, you know, I have noticed there is a disconnect that a lot of the folks who went to the open practice are much more optimistic than the folks who didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, did they see something? Was it real what they saw at the open practice? Because we got one friend that's notoriously pessimistic.
Right.
He came back just gushing about a couple of players. So I think the question is, has it been that long to watch, you know, the squads practice against each other? Is it an illusion? Is it a mirage? Are they projecting into this team what they want to see? Or is it real?
We're talking about practice. They're practice. And not only that, one practice. So, no, I don't know. I mean, I will tell you, my biggest concern about this team is that while I think there's some nice-looking players on the team and some talented players on the team, And I know people will say, well, you didn't see them until they came out. But I don't see a Bob Sanders or a Sean Green or a Matt Roth. Or who do you see that looks like, oh, my God, this guy's going to, like, put the Big Ten on notice? Do you see that guy on this team?
No.
Hopefully, and I know Ferentz always likes to say, stories will emerge. Well, you know,
that's true. Where was Mark Weissman this time last year?
Yeah, but what did it get us?
Well, you know. He was chucking along until his.
When you're like star player is like the backup fullback who's forced into being a really good running back. Don't get me wrong. I mean, great thing to find.
Yeah.
But you know that should not be your lead story. You know, your lead story is like Dope Walker Award winning Sean Green comes out of nowhere after lifting furniture all summer.
We didn't know that about Sean Green in 08.
But there were people talked about him though as sort of. Wow, million-dollar talent, will he be able to put it together after being off?
They're saying that about Daniels a little bit.
That would be great to
see. They're saying a little bit about...
Carl Davis. And I've heard Powell. The light's gone on. Yeah, yeah.
No, so, you know, so it's...
You got to see it, though. But yeah. Who would have seen Razor Ramon Ochoa?
He still wasn't great. He was just...
He was good enough.
And yeah. Especially on punt returns, and he's just... Right. Yeah, he's good.
So let's talk about the elephant in the room, the quarterback position.
Ooh.
And what do we expect to see coming out of that? And now I want to go back real quick again. I still have not got a significant answer to the whole why nobody else got a snap last year. And that BS line about the best chance to win. I mean, there were a couple blowout games.
You have no excuse for not putting somebody in to take some reps in Michigan and Penn State. You know, get them that big game feel. You know.
Sure.
You know, maybe at Northern Illinois or Northern Iowa was the only team I think that we actually comfortably beat. Maybe Minnesota. So you had four games, I think maybe four opportunities to put somebody in for a series.
Right.
And we didn't do it.
The only thing I can think of and hope is I've seen this theory put out there a little bit that because the offense was in flux and because, you know, especially a young guy in a first year of learning a new system wouldn't have it real clear that, you know, maybe they didn't want to throw somebody to the wolves
and
shatter their confidence.
Okay, but
that's
the risk you play. Maybe you have a conversation with that young man. You say, look, this is sink or swim time. You want to go or no go? Because if you say no, we're going to give it to the guy behind you.
Right.
And you give him that chance. You give him that opportunity. And then you say, look, if you screw up, you know, maybe you are the shattered psyche or whatever, but you got the whole offseason and two camps to kind of recover from that.
True.
You know, so it really just baffles. And I think the conversations online, too, and some of the forums that we frequent, no one has a good response to why there were no snaps taken by anybody but James Vandenberg.
That will remain, to me, the biggest mystery of the Kirk Ferentz era to date.
Well, put it up there with why was the other two, also quarterbacks, right? Why wasn't Stansy starting in 08? I mean, everybody in the stands saw it. Coach didn't seem to see it. And then the second, I think, also a quarterback controversy was in 01 when it was between Chandler and Banks.
Yeah, I don't know. Either one of those, though, it's not as inexplicable because the Chandler and Banks thing, if you remember, you know, Banks had done the run out of bounds part. He didn't know that much of the playbook. So I kind of get that. You know, you have the athletic talent.
Chandler won 10. Oh, it wasn't Chandler. It was
McCann?
McCann. Yeah,
okay.
Sorry.
McCann. But anyway, a guy, again, and I'll say the same thing, even though, you know, in retrospect, he proved Christensen was not that good of a quarterback. He had won a couple games, including one where he came in for a really badly struggling Stansy and pulled the game out of the fire. So, yeah, it took longer than we'd like to see, but at least there was some semblance of reason. I can't think of a single actual reason for why nobody would get a snap.
Doesn't it seem, though, like there's a pattern that, you know, I would say that there are a couple of things what they call anti-patterns, you know, negative things that just they can't seem to get beyond. We've seen this before. Clock management, the issue getting completely caught off guard with the trick plays on special teams. And then this, you know, kind of who's your best quarterback. I actually think that from listening to folks that that we're kind of – the problem might be that we're blessed with abundance a little bit. We have three pretty solid options at quarterback. One is just more consistent than the other two. But that any one of them could probably win or lose you a game on any given day.
Well, you know, what was interesting to me is somebody had mentioned on Hawkeye Report today, I think, actually, and today is Thursday, that, you know, if you had a guy with the credentials that Ruddock had, you know, high three-star from a big winning program, Florida, with offers from multiple BCS schools like Miami, if he was going to be going in as a first-year starter as a, I think, what, a redshirt sophomore at a school like Texas or Ohio State, all the talk would be about, all right, here comes the next great guy. But we're already kind of thinking, I don't know. And nobody in the national media or even the media that covers the Big Ten has a positive thing to say about him, because, and rightfully so, they haven't seen anything from him. We've never seen anything from him either. So, you know, it'll be interesting. It's just kind of, you kind of have to remind yourself, okay, this guy was not just like some schmo that they got off, you know, some two-star recruit out of the middle of nowhere. I mean, this is a kid that has the pedigree. Will it happen when the lights go on? That's the million-dollar question, and that's
Vandenberg had the pedigree, and Christensen had the pedigree, and I think that's where people, and at least in the Iowa fan base, have tempered their optimism for, you know, jumping on when it comes to the recruiting hype.
2 points on that, though. Vandenberg had a serviceable junior season and had moments where he looked pretty good, and Vandenberg also played in Iowa too, so in high school.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yes, he had all the state records and everything like that. That's a little different than the school that Jake Ruddock was at, which I believe, you know, sent like 10 or 12 or more players to Division I programs and won the high-level state championship in Florida.
Plus, James was also throwing to Marvin for that.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Makes things a little easier.
Any other players worth that you're excited to see how they do?
I'm looking forward. I've heard a lot of good things about the secondary, and, of course, those linebackers are all... Now, that's a cutting a sword, I think, a double-edged sword there, is that our linebackers, I think, we're finally going to see Hitchens and Kirksey and Morris really come into their own. On the other hand, what happens next year? You know, does the linebacker become a liability? But I think this year could be a strength. Mm-hmm. But, you know, as we were discussing last year, if the defensive line doesn't, you know, misses assignments or misses tackles or can't get off blocks, then it makes their jobs that much harder. But I think that if the defensive line is just even remotely, you know, competent, those linebackers are going to have great years. I'm looking forward to CJ Fedoras. This is season.
Officially not looking forward to CJ Fedoras.
Really?
Because every single year it's been CJ Fedoras is this amazing physical specimen. CJ Fedoras is going to be running wild through the middle of the field. CJ Fedoras is going to get a bunch of touchdowns. And he's been a fine, nice, productive tight end, but I mean, he's probably about what, fourth or fifth best tight ends I've seen in the Ferentz era. He has a great senior season. I would love to see it, but I'm officially not on excitement.
So, fourth, so you put him behind Dallas Clark, Moyaki, and Scott Chandler?
Who is the now you're making me forget the dude's name. He plays in the NFL, and he's like a forgotten man, and I mean by name, but he's I think he plays for the Buffalo Bills.
Oh he scores quite a bit too.
Yeah,
I can't remember his name.
So he's behind that guy.
That guy's I love that guy.
That guy's awesome.
Yeah.
So
awesome we can't remember his name. It was just abundance of tight ends. Looking forward to the idea that it sounds like we have, knock on wood here, if you want to piss off the gods, but it sounds like we have a good stable of running backs, and a few of them can actually line up and in a slot and actually be a threat in the passing game. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, that'll be cool.
It actually seems like that's right up Greg Davis's alley, you know, with the horizontal passing and that kind of dump off to a guy who can then run afterwards.
And then the mystery receiving corps.
What's that all about?
I don't know.
Well, what happened to Cotton? Is he even on the two deeps? He was amazing last year. Relatively.
Relatively. I don't know.
Yeah.
Let's put it this way. There's a lot of guys on this team that have a lot to prove, and they have big shoes to fill if they're going to be, you know, thought about as, you know, great Iowa players, because they did not cover themselves in glory last year at all.
I think the offensive line is looking pretty solid if they can stay healthy.
Yep.
And that is a big if, because we saw in one game in two plays is when the wheels came off last season.
Let me take one, not with you, but, you know, I've seen this so much about people say, well, you know, this year, if we stay healthy, then we're going to be good, yada, yada, yada.
We never stay healthy.
No football team stays healthy. It's friggin' football.
Yeah.
And so I think what that points up is that Iowa has depth issues. And a lot of that goes back to, yeah, I think, some of the attrition issues we talked about, some of the recruiting issues we've talked about in the past, that, sure, we can run out 22 really good starters that are competitive with anybody. Once those starters start going down, though, you're suddenly not looking real competitive, are you? And yeah, that, to me, and that's why that's a silly thing to say, is if we, because I'll guarantee you, we're going to have guys that miss the season. It's, it happens to every team every year.
Well, and it's an interesting point you raise, because I think what really drives that home is watching preseason NFL.
Sure.
Because you see these guys, and they put up their college, and you realize that this guy went to Florida, this guy went to, you know, LSU, or this guy went to Ohio State, and he never played. Right. Down. He was a backup for 4 years, sure, to some other guy.
Freaking Tom Brady.
Yeah. And he
was a backup.
And not only that, but he somehow managed the NFL.
Right.
Now, we collectively freak out when a Hawkeye gets into the NFL, mm-hmm, in a skill position on a practice team. We, right, follow their careers. Right. And here's these guys that have played, you know, basically been riding the pine, right, for 4 years, and they're playing in the NFL. So I think it, right, really draws the disparity, right, of depth, is that you can put that first team out as competitive with anybody.
Now, that all that said, can you remember an offseason, though, where we had fewer, like, stupid law-breaking incidents or guys going into it suspended or pre-camp injuries or, yeah, during-camp injuries? I mean, so far, it sounds like the team that we had in mind is ready to roll. The problem is, I don't know if it's that good of a team. So.
Yeah, yeah. But what? But, you know, it gives you the opportunity to blame performance.
Absolutely.
Or take
no
credit.
Excuses.
Or take credit.
No
for
excuses.
For performance completely on your own shoulders. No.
Absolutely.
External factors.
No excuses. No excuses.
All right. So then let's move into this particular game coming up Saturday. The first thing that I think we should point out is that there's a high degree of probability that at some point in the third quarter, both teams will spontaneously combust.
It's going to be... Actually, I think they've revised the forecast a little bit. Something,
yeah,
like it's only going to be about 90 degrees.
Okay. So not triple digit.
No.
It's, well, going to be triple digits on the field.
Oh, yeah.
It might be that in the stands.
Hope not.
Wow. So it's going to be a warm one. But, you know, we always do this. We always start the season, you know, baking and getting sunburned.
Mm-hmm.
And always end the season wearing every stitch of black clothing you have and freezing like crazy.
Exactly.
So it's like...
Well, that's Iowa.
That's Iowa for you. But... But what do you think about NIU? I mean, I gotta tell you, I don't feel good about this team.
I mean, like being afraid of them, not feel good about them.
Yeah,
yeah, no, I'm with you. I'll tell you what, when I do a NFL football pick pool with my family every year, and the advice that my mom always goes with, and she's won the thing probably more than the rest of us combined, is she just goes purely on quarterbacks head to head, and she's figures out which team has the best quarterback, and she picks them. Well, Jordan Lynch for NIU set an NCAA record last year with, what, over 3,000 yards passing and 1,500
yep.
yards rushing.
Yep.
He looked good against Iowa last year when he couldn't throw. He was just running, and now apparently he's added, you know, the passing threat into his thing. And on the Iowa side of that ledger, we have a complete cipher, a complete unknown. So based on that alone, if you went by that, I mean, how can you feel real comfortable?
I don't feel comfortable. And actually, I think we might actually see Iowa's first season opening loss since 99?
Is that it?
2000? I don't know. Somebody in the inner Twitter spheres, whatever, will
okay.
correct us on that. But, you know, it could be...
Well, that damn near happened last year. I was at that game.
Yeah, well, that's true.
I mean...
Well, but that would have been an away game. I mean, at Kinnick, an opening, you know, salt in the wound, right?
You have to remember, that was Lynch making his first start last year,
yeah.
and he damn near beat us.
Yeah.
And,
they've had this game circled, according to...
See, how is it that even when Iowa sucks, everybody has them circled? what does Iowa do to piss off everybody? I don't understand it.
So my feelings are there's two factors here. I mean, you mentioned the quarterback, so I got to pick something different.
Mm-hmm.
I think the two factors are the defensive line of the Huskies, because it sounds like they're a little soft. That might be their vulnerability. And
mm-hmm.
if we can run on these guys, and I mean really run on these guys,
mm-hmm.
With, you know, Weissman and Bullock and Daniels and
mm-hmm.
Kanzeri, and, you know, we really just load up on these guys, then I think that might ease Ruddock's debut a little bit if he really feels like he can just hand the ball off and get first down.
Well, it was finally the running game is what led him to win last year. Yeah. Remember, they committed to it, and then they ended up winning.
So that's the one thing. The other factor is it sounds like our secondary is maybe one of the strengths of this defense. So between the linebackers and the secondary, if we can not shut down Lynch, I don't think you can, but just take away a lot of his options and slow down his progression a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, it feels like we might be able to disrupt that 3,000-yard passer just enough to, you know, but like we said earlier, I've got nothing to base this on.
Well,
it's pure hope and optimism.
I'm still more worried about our offense than anything. I mean, think about it. We held Iowa State to 9 points at home in Kinnick last year. How did that turn out?
I don't think we could be any worse on offense. So I'm just checking the box.
You know, everybody says that, but why? I mean, we have a new quarterback, too. We don't know anything about that.
I think it's because we have a new quarterback that people are optimistic.
One who apparently was not able to, you know, to fit in to even take a snap when Vandenberg was struggling
so badly. I think
that's
part of the problem. I think that, you know, we get into a situation where if you feel the footsteps behind you is when you perform at your best. And I think Vandenberg didn't have that last year. This guy had to come out of a three-way catfight.
Okay.
You know, whatever. Right. You know, we'll see where it goes. But I think at least, you know, at least he knows that if he starts stinking it up,
yeah,
he's not going to take every step.
But sure helped Jake Christensen.
Well, you know, we demonstrated here that Ferentz and company will only put up with that kind of shit for about a season and a half. Where they pull a quarterback.
True enough. So
what's your prediction?
Well, and people who read the Hawkeye Report prediction page will see this as well. I am usually Captain Optimistic. You know, I'm usually Mr. Silver Lining. But after, I mean, I also am a big believer in ride the streak. This is a team that's on a 6-game losing streak.
Yeah.
And until I see with my own eyes something resembling a competent football team, especially on the offensive side of the ball, I ain't picking them. So I am going to go with 21-17 NIU Huskies and a really, really, really hot and bothered and irritated Iowa fan base.
Oh, man. I don't want to be on the internet next week if that's... But I agree with you. I want to pick Iowa. It's at home.
They're a 3-point favorite.
It's a Kinnick. It's, you know, opening. It's a non-conference game. I mean, remember back in the day when, when those were cupcakes and not coming out of BCS bowls. But, you know, I'm with you. I have not seen anything. Everything on this team is a blank page. I think it's possible that it goes one way or the other. I don't see a blowout in either direction.
Oh, no.
I'm going to go with 31-24 Huskies.
That's a lot of points. That's a lot of points.
Well, you know, until we see something, it's hard to say what the, you know, what the defenses are capable of. I think this year's offense is going to be better. I think if nothing else, it's going to be more in sync. The players seem to get along and understand each other a little bit better and understand their coaches and coordinator a little bit better. So I don't see how
we
drop much further.
Even though we've never seen the quarterback.
Yeah, but so I'm going to say that. I am also going to say that that this puts a lot of pressure on not just the team, but Ferentz to come out of the preseason with like a 500 record. And we've had this conversation before about what happens when you lose to Iowa State 3 years in a row.
Oh, yeah.
And can you even call yourself, well, never mind. We'll save that one for the Iowa State week. So, but I'm also predicting.
Well, here's the strongly hoping that we're both wrong and we have to come back and eat crow next week. It would be a delicious serving for me.
I would be more than happy to take my lumps as a failed prognosticator.
And I you know, as I wrote in my column this week, I can't pick this season because I don't have enough information. I don't like trying to make predictions when I don't have enough information.
No, it's not even that. I don't even remember so much of last year. Somebody was posting something about the Purdue game last year, and I was like,
"We played Purdue,
exactly." I'm like, "We played Purdue and we lost at Kinnick. Did that happen?" And then I realized, like, some kind of UFO abductee or
it
trauma
wasn't at
victim.
Kinnick, was it?
Yes, we lost on like a last minute field goal. I'm sitting here going, did that happen? And then I realized PTSD. I have blanked out whole sections of the 2012 season I have no memory of. And yeah. I realized that's like my psyche trying to defend itself against, you know, further trauma because there's so many just moments and so many games and so many weeks where it's just like, it can't get any worse. Oh, it just did.
It just got worse.
So, somebody was talking about the Purdue game and I was thinking about how I had zero memory of that.
Right.
So,
So if you guys remember, last year we had some, so we had this segment called Speaking with the Enemy last year where we would talk to somebody from another team, a fan of another team, and make a little wager with them. But we quickly kind of ran out of people.
We ran out of friends.
From other
Nobody schools. Wants to come back and do that.
So we may bring that back as a once-in-a-while recurring segment, but we've got some other segments lined up. So
we had Hawkeye Confessionals.
Right.
But those got real dark after a couple
those
of games.
Those got dark and kind of personally embarrassing.
And sort of like, you know, pleading guilty some illegal behavior.
Yeah, I think
behavior.
There might have been some statute of limitations issues.
Yeah, so we're
going to
stay away from that
one
for at least a year.
Right. Well, plus now we're old and boring, so, you know, we kind of ran through most of those, too. So,
unfortunately, I think we might have a few more, but
the ones that
we saved are the ones that we don't want out.
Yeah, deep, dark secrets.
One of the things that was popular last year is we would talk to people about other things, not entirely related to football. And it always seemed to kind of produce an interesting conversation on the different social networks.
Right.
And so we had this idea for a segment that we're tentatively calling Ich bin Expert, for those of you who know Carl Hungus, you know, where we would find someone who has some expertise in an interesting, albeit perhaps obscure field, and maybe pick their brain about what they do and whether it's a job or a hobby or...
Well, the idea kind of came when we had Kurt Allmeyer, our resident beer snob, last year, and we had our great beer conversation, which actually people found quite interesting.
Yeah, in fact, they were like, why don't you do a podcast on that? Your football knowledge sucks.
Well, and that, exactly. And so that brings us to another segment recurring that we're going to have, which is the delicate and subtle art of beer snobbery. Okay. We're going to try to keep it a little shorter, maybe 10 minutes or at max, but we're going to talk about some of the awesome beers that we've been drinking and, you know, where you can find them
and ask
awesome
people what they're
them.
Drinking
yeah.
and where
yeah,
they can find
absolutely.
That. And
so,
maybe set up some more beer pen pals like we had. So we cross country.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then one of the other ideas we had was, I don't know what we want to call this. I called it win a date with two idiots, which is, you know, we talked about how we have season tickets. We've had season tickets now. Geez, is it really like 10, 11 years?
Yeah, something.
So we've had season tickets together for a long time. And between the four tickets we have, I would say we average, especially last year, 2.5 seats for four tickets. So we're throwing open the idea that, you know, folks who follow us on Facebook or interact with us on Twitter or call us names on Hawkeye Report might be interested in meeting up for some beers and some football and
sitting
and
with us in our crappy seats on the goal line.
It's sitting in some really crappy seats, you know, and the only cost to you would be that you have to inject some wit and contribute some humor to the whole day, because that is definitely a requirement. And then we also wanted to maybe put out to the audience, what do you think is a good segment?
Yeah, we're open to ideas because we're out of them.
Well, we're trying to keep things interactive. And I think we notice that things get really interactive when we don't post a podcast or when we're late posting the podcast. But when things are up and running, everybody's just kind of like silence and crickets. And you wonder if anybody's ever listening. And then you skip a week and then the whole thing goes crazy. Right. So if you have an idea for a segment, you know, send it our way. It could be anything that you read in Tori's column, anything you know from following us on the different social networks.
Right. At 12 Saturdays, 1-2 Saturdays is our Twitter handle,
right,
as a reminder.
And then it's Facebook. Just do a search for 12 Saturdays.
Yeah.
The number 12.
Right.
Not spell it out, because I think that's a clothing line.
Right.
Yeah.
Ladies clothing.
Yeah. It's like ladies in football, which is another subject that I wanted to talk about, but not for today. But, all right. So that's a wrap. We're going with our predictions. Both of us calling for the Hawkeyes to lose on Saturday.
You know, I think, you think that's just defense mechanism kicking in a little bit?
I think we've been hurt before.
We're like abuse.
Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me 8 times.
Yeah, right. Fool me 6 times in a row, and I'm going to stop picking you.
Exactly. Well, we'll see. Maybe we'll have a completely different outlook next week. But until now, we're carrying the ghosts of 2012. The
ghosts of 2012.
Into Saturday, and hoping that there's an exorcism.
But that will not stop us from saying, go Hawks.
Go Hawks.